from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I have to say I am incredibly satisfied here on this Monday morning. Loved what I saw from Georgia in a 41-17 victory against South Carolina on Saturday. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I heard from a lot of people before the game and then sort of in the similar conversation after the game is that we may be entering into an era in which Georgia football is just sort of fairly easy to predict. Because, you know, the one thing that I said a lot on the program last week is that I didn't take South Carolina's upset bid against Georgia very seriously at all because I looked at the dominance of Georgia's offensive line. What you saw from the beef and the overall talent level of those guys that play up front for Georgia, and in comparison to what South Carolina is going to do with the defensive line, and I simply said there's just not enough there for South Carolina to establish anything against Georgia. Georgia will push these guys around, and Georgia will ultimately get the victory. Then on Saturday night, you know, a lot of you there in Columbia were like, "Hey, BA, that's exactly what happened. You called it." And you know, I don't know that makes me particularly smart. I just think that Georgia football is sort of entering into an era in which we can sort of know what to expect. You can look at the way that the Georgia players look in their uniforms getting off the bus. You can look at the way the South Carolina or whatever opponent is sort of getting off the bus. You can sort of look at all of that, and you're going to be able to see, kind of what's what here. And obviously just the look of Georgia, the feel of Georgia is a group overall, I think, that was sort of destined to sort of handle South Carolina in the way that it did. And frankly, probably in doing so, you probably sort of put to bed some of the ancient conversations of, oh, be careful when you're Georgia going to South Carolina. Oh, bad things have happened for this program in spots like this. A lot of that other sort of, mealy mouth, I think, is the way that my Southern ancestors would have said it. A lot of mealy mouth talk about, what Georgia might not be able to do. Clearly, whatever version of Georgia you remembered from the past, this is not that version of Georgia. And with all that in mind, what Kirby Smart had to say after the game is all the more interesting and all the more impressive because, yes, South Carolina did put up a bit of a fight there, a bit in the first half. But in the second half, it was for the most part all Georgia. And the strength of the Georgia offensive line that we talked about a lot last week here in our program, and I wrote about even at DogNation.com, that showed up in a big way. And that identity that Georgia's establishing is one that satisfies Kirby Smart, too. Here's the coach.
As far as the offensive line wearing them down, I think that comes from trying to create an identity. I mean, we believe in running the ball, and we believe in play action. We believe in being able to open it up and throw it. We want balance, but it takes its toll now. I watch our offensive line play against our defensive line, and I think you ask anybody in the country, when you can break somebody's will physically running the ball, it's very demoralizing, and that's what I felt like happened in the second half.
Yeah, you saw that on Saturday, right? You saw a South Carolina crowd get its will broken. They were heading for the exits. I tweeted that picture out. Many of you had fun with that. The South Carolina team sort of had its will broken because, listen, there's just nothing you can do about physical dominance, right? I mean, you can't coach around that. There's no, ingenious coaching decision that's going to completely neutralize that. The bigger, stronger team is virtually always going to win or at least have a great chance of winning. And once again, on Saturday, heading into that game against the Gamecocks, it was just sort of obvious on paper that Georgia was the bigger, stronger team, and that's exactly the way that the ultimate storyline in this game plays out. And Kirby Smart, can be forgiven here if he's also a bit satisfied by the fact that something he's been working now for the better part of 2+ seasons to build at Georgia is finally starting to take shape. The kind of thing where he does know what he's going to get from his team on a per game basis. There are very few surprises here for Georgia, and as a fan, which I am, and if you're listening and watching right now, you are as well. It feels good for a change not to be the finesse team in a game, right? I mean, because that's what South Carolina is. And listen, we know, Will Muschamp a little bit around here. We obviously, know what he's all about. How much does he hate that, you think? Now, he's not going to admit that in a post-game press conference. He's not going to talk a lot about that. But how much does he hate the fact that he's got to be the finesse, almost Big 12-style team against Georgia's, brute force there along the line of scrimmage? And, we'll get to the defense later on. They certainly did plenty there as well. Muschamp looks across the field at his good buddy Kirby Smart, and you know, there's going to be a degree of professional jealousy here that Kirby Smart's getting to coach the kind of team and has built the kind of program that if Will Muschamp had the same resources he would do at South Carolina, he's sort of forced to play a different brand of football, and it'll be good enough to beat a lot of teams, just not good enough to a match head-to-head with the Georgia Bulldogs. And what's even more amazing about this Georgia offensive line from Saturday is that it does a lot of what it accomplished without Andrew Thomas in the game. Thomas does leave with the injury. We'll talk to Chip Towers more about this later on in our show, including the prognosis for what to expect in terms of announcements on this moving forward. Kirby Smart did offer a little bit, though, on the Thomas injury after the game. Here is the immediate medical diagnosis that Kirby Smart got on Andrew Thomas. Here's Kirby postgame.
As of right now, it's an ankle sprain. We don't know to what extent, how bad. It's an ankle sprain, so I don't know much right now other than that.
I think the general consensus I got from a lot of Georgia fans, we'll see if Chip Towers also agrees with this, that while you don't want to see Thomas get hurt at all, obviously if you have your choice between ankle sprain or some sort of issue with knee, you'll take ankle every single time, and I'm no medical professional, but that does make at least some sense to me. And obviously I'm going to join the rest of Dog Nation here and give Cade Mays, the freshman who sort of steps in there at left tackle, a ton of credit. Mays was absolutely just blistering people when he comes in the game. That's a guy that's good enough to play. I mean, he would probably start, Mays would, for 12 of the 14 SEC teams. You know, not right now a starter for Georgia. Maybe he's not a starter for Alabama, but I think that Mays would be a surefire day one starter at some position for every other team in this SEC. So he stepped in and played well and clearly sort of showed all of that off. And I'm glad that Georgia's got Mays, but that doesn't change the fact that if Andrew Thomas is missing, if he's hobbling some, you know, hobbled here a bit, There is something to lose there for Georgia. Even if Mays comes in and plays very strong, very well, you are sacrificing some of your depth there. So we'll obviously pay close attention to what the updates are on Andrew Thomas as they come throughout the week with Chip Towers later on. Kirby Smart will address the media as he does every Monday today at noon, so keep close to DogNation.com for more on that. And then kind of finally here off the top of the show in terms of the overall tone of the game. You heard Kirby Smart there a moment ago, you know, talking about, you know, the demoralizing demeanor that Georgia establishes here, the physicality that you know, Georgia showed, almost a quiet level of dominance. You know, I will give you a quick backstory here. My buddy Connor Riley, one of our producers around here, he and I were going to be set up right there on the field immediately after the game to sort of capture the celebration. You know, virtually every time a team wins in the SEC, there's a lot of flag waving. You run over and you celebrate with the band and the fans who had all made their way down to the front of the stadium on Saturday. But when the game ended, there was very little celebration from Georgia whatsoever. You know, they met at the middle, they had the post-game prayer, and then they just walked back to the locker room, business being taken care of, the business trip was over, and they seemed eager to sort of turn the page and move on to the next chapter. Very, very different than the clown show that came out of Columbia, South Carolina over the last couple of weeks. Whether it be Deebo Samuel embarrassing himself with the things that he said about DeAndre Baker, or Torrey Gurley, a total nothing, unknown commodity, a guy that I don't even remember playing at South Carolina, who got a lot of a national attention this week for guaranteeing a victory against Georgia. You know, Georgia, according to Kirby Smart, is right now just not going to be motivated by those kinds of things. Here's more from Kirby.
We didn't sell that or preach that. I mean, they put something up in the weight room, a sticker, but I wanted discipline and composure. And playing in this environment, it's a lot more about discipline and composure. Sometimes when you get into all that disrespect, you get chippy, you make bad decisions. I knew it was going to be a chippy kind of game because both staffs are intense and both programs are physical, but we didn't want our guys getting stupid penalties, and I thought they managed themselves really well in that regard. I don't like using disrespect as a motivating factor.
So listen, Kirby Smart's going to say that. We've said before that we think there's a process by how this stuff sort of gets introduced. I think it does get introduced by the strength and conditioning program. But overall, I agree with the tone that Kirby Smart establishes there. You know, Deebo Samuel really looks foolish for saying bad things about DeAndre Baker or pretending not to know who DeAndre Baker is when Baker establishes himself so strong at the beginning of the game with an interception return for a touchdown. And for Samuel to say those things as sort of a preface to a blowout, I think makes him look bad too. By comparison, Georgia does look all business. And maybe we didn't get to see the celebration from Georgia on the field after the game that we wanted to see, but this looks like right now a Georgia team that's not in much of a mood for celebrating. They've got a whole lot more in terms of goals and objectives beyond just beating South Carolina, and based on the performance we saw against the Gamecocks, this team looks more than capable of accomplishing all of those goals. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter feed, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 963 in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com, SoundCloud, everywhere else in between. Rested on the couch all day yesterday, watching a lot of football after having been in Columbia the day before, and stayed indoors and enjoyed some air conditioning, and a little Marco's Pizza as well. And if you did the same thing on your football Sunday, I know you enjoyed that. And if you took advantage of the great offer from Marco's Pizza, you're happy about that too. Two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. It's every store every day the Italian way. There is no coupon to clip, no promo code to remember, just good, authentic Italian quality pizza. So say hello, Primo, by going to Marco's.com and taking advantage of that order. I will say I went to bed early last night, did not realize until I woke up this morning that Green Bay came back and beat Chicago last night. What a game that was, and nice to see Roquan Smith get a sack in his, I guess, first play in an NFL uniform there for Chicago Bears. So cool stuff there around the pros on Sunday. And if you enjoyed that with a LaMarco's Pizza sitting in your lap, I know you were very happy doing that. As promised, we'll get Chip Towers here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let's do our Around the Doghouse here on a Monday, brought to you by friends at Pella Window and Door. And I want to deal with, you know, one of the cool things we get to do on here around Dog Nation, when we do our Northside Hospital postgame show, you really get a chance in the moment to sort of reflect on the question that's being asked more so than any other after the game. And it's just sort of nice for me to know what the consensus among Dog Nation is in terms of what's interesting, what's not, what was important, what's not, what was good, what was bad. And even in a day when Georgia dominates South Carolina, it was the final 41-17, even in a day when Georgia dominates South Carolina, I would say, now maybe Michael and Connor, who are monitoring the show from a producer standpoint, maybe they feel a bit different, but I would say that the question we got to ask more than anything else on our postgame show on Saturday was, where was Demetrius Robertson? Robertson doesn't come up with a catch in the game, not targeted, I think, even on a passing attempt at any point in time in the game. Through two games in his Georgia career, Demetrius Robertson has no catches, has the one handoff against Austin Peay that goes back for a touchdown, but no catches. A lot of Georgia fans were sort of left wondering, okay, so what does that mean for Demetrius Robertson? Why aren't we seeing him more involved in the Georgia offense? Now, Kirby Smart was asked about this in his postgame press conference on Saturday, and as you might imagine, Kirby Smart was not really much in the mood to entertain the notion of why aren't we seeing more highlight reel opportunities for the transfer of Robertson. Here's a pretty terse response from Kirby.
He played a ton. He just got in situations where he was blocking. He had a couple times where the route, that pass is called and the read went the other way. But I saw him out there a lot.
So, listen, I have a few things here. First of all, I do sort of understand where the fans are coming from on this, because I think there is this natural curiosity of a guy. And listen, I'm very guilty of this. I obviously hyped up Robertson in a big way, coming into Georgia. I thought at the time that he was going to be Georgia's leading receiver. I'm still not so sure I won't end up being proven right on that. But through two games, we haven't seen him involved in that way. And there's going to be a curiosity about that. That curiosity is going to remain even on a day like Saturday, where Mecole Hardman established himself in such a big way. And maybe this is just an example of, it's easy to sort of look like the leading receiver at Cal because you don't have a lot of competition for those touches, but at Georgia there's a lot more wealth to be spread around here, and maybe Robertson's numbers are going to suffer at Georgia a bit just in comparison to Mecole Hardman, who was all over the place on Saturday. That's certainly the case. I think this is also probably true as well, that one of the best things about Georgia is kind of also maybe going to be something that's not always the most enjoyable for fans. As this program continues to build its depth on offense, a repertoire of playmakers, the likes of which that, Georgia's probably never seen, and very few teams in the SEC have ever seen it on one team at one time. It could be James Cook at the running back position. It could be DeAndre Swift. It could be Elijah Holyfield. We saw on Saturday, it can also be Brian Harrion at the wide receiver position. Maybe it's Terry Godwin who has the big game. Maybe it's Mecole Hardman, or maybe it's Demetrius Robertson, which is to say nothing about the former five-star tight end Isaac Nada, the fan favorite Charlie Warner, who was a big-time performer up in North Georgia before coming to a UGA. There's just a lot of potential weapons here, but that means that in most games, a lot of those guys just aren't going to get as many touches as a lot of fans want. The notion of that sort of fantasy football mentality where every one of these guys is sort of collecting the big, gaudy stats and sort of becomes the kind of player that young kids want to put posters on their wall. a deep Georgia offense just may not produce as many of those guys. Now, will it produce enough points to win and win in convincing fashion? More often than not, I think that's probably going to be the case. But guys like Robertson, it just may be a case where the stats aren't as good here in a big-time program like Georgia as they would be out west, where it's really more about collecting stats than it is oftentimes collecting wins. So ultimately, Kirby Smart's perspective is probably right. He's on the field. He's doing what he needs to be doing. The ball could have gone to him. It was just a different read. Smart's assessment here is probably correct. But I also kind of understand the perspective of fans here a bit as well, who may have been hoping to see a little bit more of Robertson involved in the Georgia offense. The good news, though, is it's a dominant Georgia win, and Robertson certainly factored in that, even if he wasn't getting the catches. And Around the Doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily on Mondays is brought to you by our friends at Pella Window and Door, who can help you equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They're family-owned and operated. They're right here in Georgia, which means you get the local service, but it's also backed by a national company. And right now, a great offer. Through September 13th, you can get 40% off qualifying installations with 0% APR for 48 months. You know the Pella Window and Door offers the best lifetime warranty, top-of-the-line equipment, and unparalleled expertise. So go to PellaSoutheast.us, and you can submit a few appointment dates, and sometimes they're convenient for you. And a Pella representative is going to contact you to confirm, or you can give them a call, and they're done with his showroom at 404-445-2979. That number, once again, 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia. It's viewed to be the best. Somebody else that we think is the best around here is our buddy Chip Towers from DogNation.com. He had great coverage of the Georgia win against South Carolina. Let's talk to him more about that right now here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Yeah, busy day in Columbia, South Carolina on Saturday. A guy who was on top of all of it was our buddy Chip Towers. He joins us here on Dog Nation Daily right now. And Chip, I know it's probably, I would say that you've been obviously going to more games than I have. Maybe the hottest game, certainly I can remember in a long time, among the hottest that I've ever attended. And I'm sure you'd probably agree the same thing. I think it impacted the South Carolina crowd probably a bit as well.
Yeah, it probably did. I mean, it's it doesn't seem like anyway that I've ever been over there in early September wasn't like that. It's really, really hot. I mean, you know, it's hot in the South in early September, period. Columbia is a hot area of the country. And then Williams-Brice Stadium is basically built out on a treeless plain, you know, that's surrounded by asphalt parking lot, you know, the fairgrounds. And it's just hot. And then you got a sand-based, you know, Bermuda side field, so you know all the factors make it a really, really hot place. And you know, certainly Saturday was no different. That's 2 weeks in a row. I mean, Sanford Stadium was incredibly hot the previous week as well. I guess there's been a couple of times over there when it stormed like crazy where Maybe it wasn't that hot, but the storms were usually a result of you know, all the heat that's been in the area. But obviously Georgia stood up to it very well. South Carolina didn't stand up to it quite as well, and certainly that was a third quarter for the ages, and Georgia took care of business.
All right, let's talk about a lot of things here, and you mentioned third quarter of the ages. I'll sort of get to that halftime adjustment storyline in just a moment. Let me start with Andrew Thomas, who we did speak briefly about before you joined us in the program today. We're recording this on a Monday morning. Kirby Smart will speak to the media in a little less than 2 hours from right now. I imagine he'll be asked about Andrew Thomas again in terms of the ankle sprain that he suffered on Saturday. We'll find out if there's more details forthcoming. It seems like the consensus from a lot of fans, Chip, is better ankle sprain than anything involving a knee, and also a great job by Cade Mays kind of filling in his stead. What was your overall take on Thomas's injury? And if you are willing to sort of offer some sort of prognosis, we'll take that from you as well, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll find out some details from Kirby. If somebody else doesn't ask, I can promise Dog Nation I'll ask. But I would imagine that'll be one of the first questions in today's news conference. And, yeah, I mean, I do believe it's much better that it's an ankle sprain rather than any kind of knee. You know, immediately when he went down, I was thinking, golly, man, that sucks. And I was thinking, for some reason, I just Trenton Sturdivant popped in my head, because if you remember, Brandon, and I know you were paying attention to those, Trenton Sturdivant was as good of a tackle as Georgia has ever had. He just had bad knees for whatever reason, and after starting his entire freshman season, he had the first of what I think ended up being like three knee injuries and could never play again. And I was just hopeful that because it's not just that because Andrew Thomas is a good player and he helps Georgia, but, I mean, he's a really good guy, a really good citizen. I wrote about him last week, you know, coming out there and speaking at Georgia's West End dedication at Sanford Stadium, and he's just a really impressive guy. So you're like, oh man, you know, please, I hope that doesn't befall this kid. But an ankle is definitely better than a knee. Now, the ankles can be, you know, problematic and linger, and especially when you try to come back from them really quick. But again, Georgia's schedule is just really ideal in a lot of different respects. But I mean, I would imagine you won't see him play a lick. Maybe you will, but I wouldn't think you'd see him play any against Middle Tennessee State. And then the second part of that equation, which you touched on there for a second, I mean, Cade Mays, that was very revealing to me on several different levels. It was revealing to everybody. In fact, I was talking to Lamont Gilliard about it after the game. I said, were you surprised to see Cade Mays coming in? And he said, well, not really. I said, but did you know that he was going to be the next guy up? And he's like, absolutely not. And this is why Sam Pittman and Georgia does all that cross training on the line. They've got in their head, they know on the board somewhere, if then. If this guy goes down, then this guy comes in. And so that was an answer for everybody on if Andrew Thomas goes out at left tackle, then Cade Mays comes in. They wasted no time of pulling that 42 jersey on him, letting him put in his 77 back on there and trotting him out there at left tackle. And you know, I focused on him a lot after that, and he played very, very well in the left tackle situation. Just another one of those gems that Georgia has brought in on the offensive line through recruiting. So, yeah, that was very revealing that Cade Mays was the first guy in and not, you know, DeMarcus Hayes or any of those other guys that they had the option of putting in.
At DogNation.com, you gave your game ball for the game to wide receiver Mecole Hardman, and why would you not? He had a great, great performance, really showed blazing speed, and really a sort of a go-to threat type for the Georgia offense against South Carolina. Was that the start of something we're going to see for the rest of the year? Does he now step out in front of Demetrius Roberts, who we spoke about before you joined us, Terry Godwin, who's been injured? Is he going to be the focal point of the passing game now, or is this just his turn, and maybe in future weeks when Georgia's tested, it'll go to a different wide receiver? Is this still a wide receiver by committee, in other words, whether Kirby Smart said it was in August, or is Hardman now the lead dog there?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Hardman is your lead dog right now. And, you know, it's not really hard to see, you know, his tremendous speed. I mean, it's just unmatchable in most secondaries. So he is, you know, one missed tackle away from a touchdown every time he touches the ball. First off. Now, second off, now he plays slot back, okay? So there's not, you know, you can't get the ball to him all the time, you know, so he's not going to, that's never going to be the case in Georgia. And I think we're, you know, as we're all seeing, Georgia has a lot of weapons on offense. So, you know, the ball distribution is part and parcel of what gives Mecole Hardman big play opportunities, right? I mean, you don't really target him all that much, but I mean, you know, between hitch routes, the counter, you know, slash jet sweep, and, you know, and then being able to hit him downfield, you know, he's a triple threat. I think we're witnessing the maturation of Mecole Hardman as a receiver. He gets it now. And funniest thing, I think I got this in something I was writing about, but Jake Fromm just lit up when I asked him about Mecole Hardman after the game. And he says, every time Mecole comes to the sideline, he's like, I'm open. You can get me on the, you know, he just is begging for the football all the time. And that's what you want. I mean, this is a guy who's confident. He's really gotten bigger and stronger. So he's more of a tackle breaking threat than he used to be. And then he's just house. Anytime he touches it can be house. Now you touched on, and I was listening to you on Demetrius Robertson, and I think what we're seeing there in Demetrius is just trying to fit in. You know, if we know nothing else about Kirby Smart and Georgia's offensive philosophy, you've got to be able to do more than catch the ball and run with it in Georgia's offense. Yep. Georgia has plenty of guys who can do that. You've got to be able to do all the other things. So I think with Demetrius Robertson, it's going to take a minute, right, before he gets all the checks in out of the hot reads, that you have when you come in there at receiver, and the blocking proponent of it. I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch him, but I tell you what, Kirby, you know, wasn't accurate about. He was in there a ton. He wasn't in there a ton. You know, we watched the game. He was in there a little bit, and he came in at garbage time. You know, so that's a fact, Jack. You know, so you know, for whatever reason, it doesn't say Demetrius Robertson is a bust or anything like that. It's just that Georgia has a lot of options. And a lot of those options are much more learned and comfortable in the system probably right now than Demetrius Robertson is. But Demetrius Robertson is what he is, and he's going to be a part of this offense, and it's a matter of time before we see him get one catch, but I started to say a few catches, and that'll come in due time.
So Georgia does something on Saturday, Chip, that it did a lot of last year, which is essentially just suffocate opponents in the third quarter. And for the most part, I have a tendency to sort of downplay what looks like an obvious narrative of, oh, Georgia's good at halftime adjustments. That's why they're so good in the third quarter. For the most part, I think some of that kind of stuff is not as true as it sort of obviously seems. And yet when it keeps happening over and over again, including on Saturday, you have to wonder, I mean, what is this team doing at halftime? Because clearly the early stages of the third quarter set the tone for what ended up being a blowout. Is this just a matter of depth sort of showing up over time, physical dominance, conditioning sort of showing up over time? Or do you think that Kirby Smart really is pushing some sort of button there at the half?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. You know, as I say often, you know, the truth usually lies somewhere in between. And I think that's the case when Kirby downplayed halftime adjustments on Saturday and said all we did was just kind of rededicate ourselves to the run and being physical, and they felt like that, you know, South Carolina was sucking wind a little bit at the end of the half, and so we need to take care of the will. But that, as I wrote, you know, that in and of itself is an adjustment of sorts. And look, it ain't smoke and mirrors. I mean, going back and looking at last season, I wrote about this. I'll have to dig this stat back up, but I wrote last year's Georgia was making a run to the national championship. You know, Georgia's second half, in particular third quarter, outscoring opponents, you know, and that has to do, I mean, I think it's like everything else that we see under the Kirby Smart administration. They, you know, very organized, and they have a plan at halftime, and they get in there and you know, they're talking about what's going right, what's going wrong. Let's get it up here. Let's think about how we're going to attack this in the second half. And, you know, here's the other part of that equation at halftime. Yes, you know, Georgia was more physical and ran the ball, but let's not lose sight of they also had two straight three and outs on offense on defense. And South Carolina's offense was making some hay in the first half throwing the football, so they made adjustments as well. So what you had was Georgia come out, drive the ball, run-oriented, score, three and out. Drive the ball, run-oriented, score, three and out. Drive the ball, score, ball game. I mean, it was just so it's just where we are right now, Brandon. I know it puts chills on your chill bumps on you when you think about it sometimes. But Georgia's in a really good place because they got better personnel and they got good coaching, and you know, you're going to see that a lot. You're going to see them come out in the second half. Same thing with Missouri. I fully expect Missouri to hang with Georgia for a half, but their depth and the halftime adjustments aren't going to be able to stand up to what Georgia's doing. That's my prediction 2 weeks out, you know?
We got more from Chip Towers coming up. And, of course, on Saturday night, Kirby Smart used one of his classic catchphrases again. He talked about how he wants to see Georgia keep chopping. He said that a bunch in 2017. And, obviously, around here, keep chopping has two different meanings. When it comes to the Georgia Bulldogs, that's Kirby Smart's desire to see the team keep running the football. But also, while Georgia's doing all that, don't forget the Braves are chopping themselves as well on the baseball field, taking 3 of 4 from the Arizona Diamondbacks over the weekend. 3 home runs in the ninth yesterday, 25th home run of the season for Ronald Acuna as well. And coming up this Friday, the final homestand of the 2018 regular season begins as the Braves make a push towards the postseason against Washington, St. Louis, and then the division rival Phillies. And those games, by the way, there in September could decide the National League East as the Braves get back to the postseason again. I've been to SunTrust Park a bunch this season. The atmosphere has been incredible, and I know that the best yet is to still come here in September against the Cardinals and the Marlins, of course, the Phillies, as the Braves will get back to the postseason. So they're in San Francisco starting tonight, and then the homestand begins on Friday, and the Braves need you at a SunTrust Park, and if you want to enjoy some great baseball, now is the time to do it as the Braves look to get back in the postseason, beat up on the on those stinking Phillies, and get back into the postseason. Homestand starts on Friday, so make sure you check that out. Atlanta Braves, chop on. All right, Chip, let me get back to Georgia here for a moment and talk about Rodrigo Blankenship. And obviously Blankenship's a huge fan favorite, but even still, he may be a bit of an unsung hero, because if you want to make a list of why Georgia sort of coasts on Saturday by the time you get to the fourth quarter, the fact that Blankenship has become a total guarantee to put the ball in the end zone and really give Deebo Samuel or whatever future returner Georgia faces this season, to give those guys no chance to bring the ball out of the end zone to a kickoff return, that is just becoming a huge weapon for Georgia. And, Chip, the fact that it's so dependable makes it even more valuable, I think.
Yeah, you know, it really is. The maturation of Rodrigo Blankenship that we've witnessed has been really a great story. And it started off with, you know, the quirky rec specs guy, the walk-on that everybody was rooting for. And then, you know, and then it morphed into, Rodrigo basically answering his coach's challenge and saying he wanted to see him have better range and kick the ball a little deeper. And each time, you know, Kirby Smart issued a challenge, he answered it. He wins a scholarship, so it's a feel-good story to where he is now, where he's just a weapon. I mean, he's just like, Carlson over at Auburn. He comes out there. I mean, right now, you know, he goes trotting out there, and I don't know about everybody else, but, you know, 45-yard, and I'm like, yeah, he's got this, you know. And he just knocks it straight through, and his touchbacks have rendered kickoffs. A big part of South Carolina's game is their returns game. They had zero return yards on Saturday. So that goes to the punter as well. Rodrigo is a great story. And the best thing about it is just such a good lesson for young kids out there and everything else that, you know, rather than getting mad, and there was a little controversy at the beginning about all the challenges and everything and Kirby's reticence to offer a scholarship, you know, he just went out, and each thing he was challenged for, he went out and did. He got stronger. At this point, if you look at Rodrigo, I mean, the kid's 6'2". He's listed 190 pounds. I would imagine he's every bit of 200 at this point. Mm-hmm. Works out with the team, has gotten stronger, and at this point, so, you know, you can just go ahead and put a check in the column when you're doing breaking down special teams. With whoever Georgia's playing, they're either going to have the advantage or they're going to be at the very least a push with whoever they happen to play.
To hear the rest of the interview, make sure you check out the full podcast posted each day at dognation.com. But for now, there's more of Dog Nation Daily coming up next right here on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Chip, let me finish with this. Kibo Weir mentioned this in our Facebook comments section a moment ago, the performance from Richard LeCount on Saturday. Now, there's so many other players I could ask you about, and over the course of the next few months, I'm sure I will. But I want to make sure we single out LeCount here for a moment before I say goodbye to you. This is a guy that, you know, had gotten some criticism from Kirby Smart back in the summer. I think most of us said Kirby wouldn't be this public about it if he didn't truly believe in LeCount. And I think on Saturday you saw an example of why apparently Kirby believed in LeCount as much as he did. You know, this was one of the real stars from Georgia's 2017 class. And so far, based on what I saw in his second game as a, you know, sort of a full-season starter against the Gamecocks, he is absolutely living up to the hype. This young man, I think, has a chance to really be special. And Saturday, I think, was more proof of that.
Yeah, you know, you talked about that game ball, which I gave to Mecole Hardman. And as I was going through the game and trying to consider, because I have to commit to that so I can start writing by the fourth quarter, Richard LeCount was one of the guys I was considering. He just had a fantastic ball game. DeAndre Baker, obviously, could have easily had a game ball. And then, you know, the other guy we were just talking about, Rodrigo Blankenship, all four of those guys were deserving of game balls. And Richard LeCount, let me tell you, he's just a really exciting guy. You got an idea. Anytime a coach starts coming out and is openly critical like that, it's the old saying, like your dad taught you in Little League, you know, it's the fact that he's paying attention means he expects something from you. And, boy, that's the case with Richard LeCount. You and I were talking in the press box, and if you're listeners right now, if you haven't done it, dial up Richard LeCount's highlights from high school, from Liberty County High School, because it's kind of like, wow, how many long touchdowns did this kid have? Because he kind of played center field as a safety down there at Liberty County. He played, you know, quarterback or receiver or whatever Liberty County wanted him to play. And just he's a fantastic returner. I don't know if he'll ever do that for Georgia at some point, since Georgia has such a ridiculous riches in the returner realm. But he's a great returner as well. And so you saw how many times he got his hands on the ball Saturday. You know, this one is a little out of bounds, and that one's a little out of bounds. But it's just a matter of time. I mean, he's gonna. I think he's gonna have a lot of picks for Georgia, and He may threaten some records before it's over because you know, he's playing that position that Dominic Sanders did, and I think he's just a little bit faster than Dominic, and he's got unbelievable ball skills, as they say, because he really knows how to catch it, and I think he's going to have a lot of picks this year. He's going to be a good weapon for Georgia for a couple of years to come now, too.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Chip. It was really fun to be with you in Columbia on Saturday. I loved reading your words there to DogNation.com. I know you've got a lot of great stuff planned here this week, including reaction to what Kirby Smart has to say later on today with his press conference there at noon. So we'll check that out at DogNation.com, and looking forward to speaking to you back here again on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, very soon.
Looking forward to it. See you, bud.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, a couple things about what Chip had to say, and then I'll dive into the SEC Through here. Let me start with Richard LeCount here for a moment. I want to be, you know, very complimentary of the defensive backs that have been at Georgia in recent years, but I think one of the hallmarks of what you would say about most of those guys is what made them very good was they did more with less. You know, Georgia's had a history of, hey, here's a former walk-on or a former three-star or a former, you know, less than, you know, totally heralded recruit, and that guy comes to Georgia's secondary and sort of plays above that status on the field. And guys like that should be given a lot of credit for making more of themselves than their pre-career prediction would have sort of expected. But I think one of the things you're enjoying right now, if you don't mind me being very candid, what it looks like to see a defensive back do more with more, what it looks like to see instead of a defensive back who's kind of a plucky underdog who kind of, you know, emerges when very little is expected, to see a guy who maybe has all the tools and has all the specs, kind of put that together pretty early in his career here. At least what I saw from Richard LeCount on Saturday, that's an example of that. We already know that he has the capabilities of being a vocal leader. Kirby Smart wanted to make sure he had his focus and attention where it needed to be before the start of the season. And, gosh, I'd be shocked to find out if the game film, when the coaches watch it, doesn't speak pretty well of LeCount on that. All right, one more point here from Chip, and then I promise we'll do a little bit on the Florida loss because, oh, boy, did I enjoy that one on a Saturday night. You know, Chip mentioned the idea of Mecole Hardman being kind of a slot receiver, and so therefore, you know, maybe some of the options that he has for his wide receiver position in terms of the overall numbers he can put up might be somewhat limited. Now, I understand where Chip's coming from on that. It makes me think, though, about the Big 12, which I have been very honest about before, I think is an inferior brand of football to what is played in the SEC. But one of the things I do like in the Big 12 is they'll throw deep to slot receivers, right? They'll let those guys run the deep routes, and they'll kind of use that as as another deep threat. You know, I'd love to see Georgia sort of add that dimension to its offense here as well, because at a certain point, whether it be Demetrius Robertson, who I think, you know, I put myself in the category of fans with who wants to see more from, at a certain point you'd love to really sort of see that continued vertical threat added to what is a really good Georgia running game. You know, Muschamp talked about this before the game on that film room thing he did with the South Carolina folks, about how Georgia runs these sort of like compacted offensive sets where the receivers, instead of being spread out wide, are kind of compacted in because they use them for crackback blocks and things like that. I just love to see that vertical threat continue to be a part of that, because I think that Fromm can make that pass. All right, with that said, let me do the SEC Through here for a moment. And the one thing I said over and over again, and I've said now for weeks and weeks and weeks, is that people think that I'm biased when it comes to saying that Florida was not going to be very good. But here's, because y'all know, I mean, I got Eddie on the set here. We do the Gatorator countdown at the end of the show. I do truly believe that the best thing a Georgia fan could do is hate those lousy, stinking Gators. From that standpoint, I'm very clear on that. But I don't think it clouds my judgment. I told you going into this game that Florida's not good. And I think it's going to be proven more and more throughout the rest of the season here as well. My bias doesn't cause me to say that. My bias causes me to enjoy it when it's proven true. And boy, you better believe that on Saturday night when we were in Columbia after the Georgia-South Carolina game, tuning in to watch that Florida-Kentucky game, and Kentucky gets its first win in Florida in 31 tries, how enjoyable was that to watch the Florida fans have to squirm their way out of the swamp on that? Just beautiful stuff. I think that Dan Mullen has sold Florida a false bill of goods. That roster is as weak as water, and they got more losses to come before the season's done. And, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, it's almost like you hope Florida doesn't realize what its true problem actually is. the lack of talent. You know, Mullen's not going to be able to coach these guys up. There's no magic trick to be pulled here. But because the longer Florida goes without figuring that out, the easier things continue to be for Georgia and the SECs. I will tell you, while we celebrate Florida losses, we don't celebrate anyone's injury. Bad news for Florida in that Marco Wilson apparently is out now for the year. He makes that known on social media after the game. Something I will have a little bit more fun with is Adarius Lemons, the running back, who, you know, I don't really think of him as being, you know, one of the main cogs in the Florida offense anyway, announces immediately after the game that he's transferring. This is one of those classic, you know, Mark Richt's lost control of Dan Mullen type situations here where it really seems like the floodgates of bad press sort of come flooding out at one time here for Florida on this one. And for Dan Mullen, who I think may have had some reservations about going to Gainesville in the first place because of the pressure that comes with the job, I'm not quite so sure that makes it any easier to lose to Kentucky here, your first SEC game out of the gate. All right, let me do a couple other things here before we get to our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure Performer of the Week. First of all, on Texas A&M, I will say I was wrong about this. I thought that Clemson would cover this spread in College Station. The fact of the matter is A&M just hasn't been very good at home in the recent past, but they played very well at home on this Saturday. I don't know what it means for the Aggies the rest of the season. I mean, frankly, I think it's easier to get up emotional for a big game like this than to sort of have a consistent level of performance week to week. So I'm still a little wait and see on the Aggies, but I must admit they played better than I expected and maybe even got robbed by a bad call at the end that could have made this one even closer. And by the way, how happy were you to see Mike Bobo, who's been through so much here over the course of the offseason with his health issues, see his Colorado State team get a win against Arkansas on Saturday? They travel to Florida this Saturday, by the way. So we'll be rooting hard for Bobo again. But so happy to see him get a big win after what has been a really rough summer for him on the health standpoint. And the Rams got off to a real slow start this season, too. So seeing him get a win against Arkansas was really fun for us here around Dog Nation Daily. And I guess one more quick story to kind of get to here as well. Torrey Gurley, who I legitimately had never heard of before his, quote, guarantees that Georgia would beat or get beat by South Carolina, I guess, and we had this story for you at DogNation.com. You can check that out. He sort of waves the white flag of surrender. He put the Georgia G on his Twitter avatar and, you know, basically congratulated Georgia for, you know, for going out winning against South Carolina. I think a lot of people care about this story a lot more than I do because guarantees from someone I've never heard of just don't mean a whole lot to me. I still think you should come on this show and do 100 push-ups. I mean, if you're going to guarantee something, I think you should sort of put something up for that. And that's, I don't want a dollar out of his wallet, but, you know, a little calisthenics I don't think would kill anybody there. So I guess he does the right thing by giving Georgia credit. Nonetheless, it all kind of comes to an end there, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, time now for our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure Performer of the Week. And for me, there are a lot of guys you could give this to, but I want to give this to a Georgia cornerback, DeAndre Baker, for a couple of reasons here. You know what happened with Baker going back to last week with the things that Deebo Samuel said, and I thought Samuel really made a fool of himself because, I mean, Samuel's a good player, and I told you all that last week that I thought he was a good player, but who was he to sort of have that level of bass in his voice? Gets, for the most part, shut down in the game. I think, for the most part, Baker, including the touchdown that he scores to start the game, really equates himself admirably. In terms of playing in a big game, I love the quote that Baker gave to Dog Nation and other reporters gathered after the game. Here is what Baker said about, you know, stepping up and doing battle with Deebo Samuel. I love this quote from him. Check this out. Here is DeAndre Baker saying that I proved something today, but I didn't really learn anything about myself. I know I step up in big-time games. That's just who I am. I do my thing in big games like this, so I just let everyone else do all the talking, and I let my work on the field speak for itself. That's Georgia cornerback DeAndre Baker talking about sort of stepping up there against Deebo Samuel, and I really thought that Baker had a really good game, and I'm not surprised by that. Baker doesn't seem surprised by his own performance here as well. That's just the kind of thing that he does for the Georgia Bulldogs. I thought he did it on Saturday, and I thought he comes across looking like a class act and the way that, that Samuel kind of, you know, tried to goad him into some trash talk, and Baker was content to let his trash talk being done with his pads on the field. As far as, you know, Baker being involved a lot here, it almost seemed like at the beginning of the game, South Carolina was sort of targeting Baker, sort of throwing in his direction. Kirby Smart was asked about that and kind of offered his own clarification on the decision there by Will Muschamp and Brian McClendon to sort of go after Baker. Here's how Kirby Smart saw that.
I don't know that they were challenging Baker as much as that was where the read went. You know, most of those balls were thrown into the boundary. He was into the boundary, and when they were on the other boundary, they went to Tyson Campbell. So I don't know that it was just going at Bake. It was just where the read took him.
Well, the read may have taken him to DeAndre Baker. Baker answers the challenge, and Georgia gets its victory. And for that, DeAndre Baker is our R.S. Anders Cool Under Pressure Performer of the Week. And speaking of R.S. Anders, they invite you to keep cool no matter how hot it gets this summer. With the keep cool no matter what, guys, R.S. Anders clean, screen, trained, and timely techs specialize in giving old systems new life. You call, they come, you're cool. It's as simple as that, period. Now, if your old system's cooled its last, R.S. Anders also has you covered there as well with replacement AC systems, custom designed to last with available financing, so you can keep your cool by calling the ones that Dog Nation trusts, R.S. Anders, online at rsandrews.com. Now, I will say this. That was about the hottest game that I can remember at any point in time being in. Chip says, you know, it's typically hot in Columbia. It really is. The configuration of that stadium, the sort of geography around Williams-Brice kind of makes that tough. But, boy, I was dying on Saturday. And if you want to see me sweating and all pasty face with my sunscreen all on, go check out the dog walk video we did before the game. That's probably the worst I've ever looked on camera because I just sort of put the sunscreen on. The sweat had made my hair sort of, you know, sort of poof out. That was not a good look, but it was a fun time to be in Columbia. Enjoyed seeing the dogs get a victory. All right, we will wrap up here, and we'll do so with our Gatorator Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marcos Pizza, because we love seeing the Florida Gators lose. We saw that happen on Saturday against Kentucky. We think it's going to happen again on October the 27th, 47 days from right now. Georgia beats Florida again. It's our Gatorator Countdown right here on a Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marcos Pizza. Let me also say one more thing here. You know, I was talking about DeAndre Baker a moment ago, what I thought, you know, Baker was able to do. The pick six for a touchdown set the tone early in the game, and Baker sort of standing after the challenge of Deebo Samuel. Impressive in that regard from him, I thought. He does get a couple pass interference penalties, but the fact of the matter is, as Kirby Smart said, he was being aggressive. Those weren't cheap. He certainly wasn't, you know, beat on the play. Just, you know, getting physical and bumping. On the other side, maybe not as great a day for Tyson Campbell. He's responsible probably for the two touchdowns. I don't mind that. That's good experience for him. He'll learn from that and be better in the process, and we'll try to do the same thing and see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.